Our present conference is on the crisis of faith and the Eucharist. I don't believe any of us doubts there's a widespread crisis of faith. And here we are concentrating on the crisis of faith in the Holy Eucharist. In the United States, over 150 parishes have been closed in just three dioceses within the last few years. Most of our once flourishing Catholic schools, elementary and secondary, have been closed in America. Catholic seminaries in our country have dropped by 90% since the close of the Second Vatican Council. Our attendance at Sunday Mass has fallen from 50% to 80% in many Catholic churches. And behind this phenomenon, the loss of faith of so many once believing Roman Catholics. Now we begin this Eucharist, conference on the Eucharist. I thought we should first face this crisis. Our title is The Crisis of Faith and the Eucharist. This can mean two things. We can address ourselves to the crisis of faith as a relationship to the Eucharist, or we can speak of the crisis of faith specifically in the Holy Eucharist. Our focus is on this second subject. Namely, there is a crisis of faith in the Eucharist. And how are we to cope with it? So serious is the issue that Pope Paul VI did the unheard of thing of publishing a formal encyclical on the real presence during the sessions of the Second Vatican Council. His concern was of the liturgical changes which the Council had made would be worse than futile. They could be positively harmful to the Catholic Church unless the faithful understood clearly and firmly what the Church still believes about the real presence of Jesus Christ in the Blessed Sacrament. Now, something about the concern of Pope Paul VI, the Holy Father earnestly hoped the restored sacred liturgy would bring abundant fruit and Eucharistic devotion. All the while he urges the faithful not to be frustrated by the spread of false ideas which were then and are now pervading the Church of God. At root, said the Holy Father, was what God and the person of Christ revealed to the multitude after he miraculously fed the 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Christ told the people they must be nourished on his own flesh and blood if they want to remain supernaturally alive. I repeat, to remain supernaturally alive, a person's soul must be fed on the real body and blood of God who became man, both to die on the cross and remain with us in the Eucharist until the end of time. This has been the history of the mystery of the real presence ever since. This is the situation in our day. Acts of the now. Millions. I repeat, millions of once professed Catholics no longer believe in the real presence. My 33rd year in working for the Holy See, these figures are not a pious exaggeration. It is therefore worth quoting from Paul the VI at length on his growth of error regarding the Holy Eucharist. Being the mild man that he was, Paul the VI, his language is very gentle. Moreover, in the years since he published Mysterium Fidei, these errors have multiplied and, shall I say, theologized beyond anything in the 20 centuries of Christianity. I'll quote at some length from the Holy Father. Says the Pope, we are not lacking reasons for serious possible concern and even anxiety. The awareness of our apostolic duty does not allow us to be silent in the face of these problems. We are aware of the fact among those who deal with this most holy mystery in written or spoken form, there are many who, with reference either to masses which are celebrated in private or to the dogma of transubstantiation or to devotion to the Holy Eucharist, spread abroad opinions which disturb the faithful, fill their minds with no little confusion about matters of faith, is as if everyone were permitted to consign to oblivion the doctrine already defined by the Church. To confirm what we are saying, not allowable to emphasize what is called the communal mass to the discouragement of masses celebrated in private, or to exaggerate the element of sacramental sign as if the symbolism, which all certainly admit the Eucharist, though that symbolism expresses fully the mode of Christ's presence in the Blessed Sacrament, or is it allowable to discuss the mystery of transubstantiation without mentioning that the Council of Trent, see, without reservation, and the whole substance of the bread and the body and the whole supper of the wine and the blood of Christ are not to be used, but rather we should speak of transignification, transfiguration, or finally, to propose and act upon your opinion, to which, in the consecrated host, which remain after the celebration and sacrifice of the Mass, Christ is no longer present. The date of his statement, September the 3rd, 1965. You don't close. Mention my last conference. Over 150 parishes in just 3 American dioceses, without a reason. Faith in the real presence is being widely challenged in one major diocese after another, including, shall I say it, the Archdiocese of Chicago. Now something about the loss of faith in the real presence. Our subject for this conference is the crisis of faith in the real presence. Let's be clear what we're saying when we use the word crisis. My crisis in me, the need for courageous and clear understanding here of the Catholic faith in the 16th century, with the rise of Protestantism, when 6 whole nations lost their faith in the real presence. Bishops ceased to be Catholics in 6 whole nations, including Great Britain, which then proceeded to, as they say, quote, evangelize. They denied that Christ had instituted the sacrament of holy orders and conferred on every validly ordained priest the power of changing bread and wine into his own living flesh and blood. And this is the capital T, capital H, capital E. This is the heart of the crisis in the Catholic Church today. Pope Paul VI uses 2 words to summarize this crisis. Millions of Catholics don't even know there has been a crisis. The 2 words used by the Holy Father are 2 long words, transignification and trans-finalization. These terms are a summary of the widespread heretical ideas pervading one's Catholic circle in the last half of the 20th century. I was then teaching in Philadelphia. Caddy looked at the front page the Philadelphia paper. There it mentioned that in Chicago, priests ordained just 10 years. One half of all the priests ordained just 10 years before had left the Catholic Church, left the priesthood, because they no longer believed in the real presence. Now, these two long words, first, divine signification. This is the view of Christ present in the Eucharist, which claims that the words of consecration as Mass merely get it, change the meaning or significance of the bread and wine, but the bread and wine remain on the altar after they are, quote, consecrated. Their substance does not change. The so-called consecrated elements are said to signify all that Christians associate with the Last Supper. The bread and wine acquire a new meaning than the meaning they had before, but they remain bread and wine. We get some idea of how deeply this error has penetrated Catholic thought when we read no less than the learned Jesuit Caroner, what he writes about the Eucharistic consecration. I'm now quoting Caroner. The more recent approach suggests the following considerations. One has to remember, I'm quoting Ronner, that the words of institution indicate a change, but do not give any guiding lines for the interpretation of what really takes place. As regards transubstantiation, it may be said the substance, the meaning of the bread are identical to what they were before the act of consecration. But the meaning of a thing can be changed without changing what it was before, quote unquote, consecrated. That is a quotation from Ronner's Encyclopedia of Theology, contained, I dare say, in every English-speaking theology of the world. Now, something about transignification. Transfinalization. This identifies two principal errors. They have undermined the faith of millions, because it is millions in our own nation that no longer attend Mass. They claim that There are two synonyms. They are transfinalization and transfiguration. Transfinalization is the claim that Christ's presence in the Eucharist has the purpose or finality of the bread and wine, have a different purpose. They are said to serve a new function. They arouse the faith of the people in Christ's redemptive love. We might say that transfinalization is just another name for transignification. In both cases, hear it. The meaning, the substance of bread and wine remain. Widely taught, how well I know, in one seminary after another. In my 30 years in working for the Holy See, I have visited many members of the hierarchy, telling them what was being taught in their seminaries. And sadly, some of the bishops did not even know. Others, more sadly, agreed with a new meaning. In both cases, transfinalization, transfiguration, the substance of bread and wine remain. I repeat, you don't close 150 parishes in three dioceses in America without a reason. This is the reason. A widespread loss of faith in the real presence. Bread and wine have widely taken on a new meaning. The new purpose, but not the substance, is expressed in the two words, transignification and transfinalization. If Karl Rahner is the best known advocate of transignification, another widely read theologian, Edward Skillebeck, this time not a Jesuit or Dominican, is the most famous proponent of transfinalization. Once again, it is worth quoting at some length, this time from Skillebeck. His language is very clever. In context, use the words real presence, but tells us that the purpose of the Eucharist is simply to make Christ's presence more intimate. I'm now quoting Skillebeck. Anyone who denies this context is bound to misunderstand transubstantiation and make it too objective. The signs of the Eucharistic bread only imply a presence as an offering emanating from the Lord in His assembled community, the real presence, in quotation marks, that is peculiar to the Eucharist, is thus confined to the category of personal presence. It is interpersonal. The host mediates between the Lord and His church and me. When I kneel down before the Eucharist, I kneel not before Christ. Hear it. I kneel not before Christ, for the Lord Himself was offering Himself to the host, which remains bread. And to the wine that remains wine. Unquote, Edward Skillebex, O.P. So the learned denial of Christ's real presence goes on. Page after page, Skillebex reduces the Holy Eucharist to a symbol of Christ's love for us, a manifestation of His generosity. But Jesus Christ is not in the Eucharist. The purpose or finality of bread and wine are changed, but they remain bread and wine. Their substance has not been changed in the living Jesus Christ. I'm not quoting from a daily paper. I'm quoting from learned books read by seminarians in seminaries throughout the world. And the translation that I read from Dutch into English just expresses what by now millions had once believed and no longer believe. After this retreat, some of you may go home and say to yourselves, Father Hardin quoted from some strange character. I don't quite remember the name. Something like Skillebex. Let me tell you, there are now thousands, change the figure, millions of once professed Catholics who no longer believe in the real presence. What have been the consequences? We know that ideas have consequences. Over 30 years of erroneous teaching about the real presence has deeply, I mean deeply, affected the minds of millions of professed Catholics. Pope John Paul speaks of the dissemination of untruth in seminaries and universities. I say this from the depth of my heart. There are seminaries in the United States, not only in our country, but in our nation, that teach exactly what I quoted from Skillebeck's Endrunner. There is much more here than meets the eye. Everything in the Catholic faith, everything, what a statement. Everything in the Catholic faith depends on whether Christ instituted the Holy Eucharist as the real presence. By the year 1600, less than a century after Luther broke with the Catholic Church, I repeat, by 1600, there were over 200 interpretations of the real presence among once professed Catholics. Why do I say this? Because the real presence includes, implies that Jesus Christ ordained men, His own apostles, at the Last Supper, and gave them the priestly power to change bread and wine into His own flesh and blood. You don't close. Hear it. Some 70% of the seminaries in the United States without a reason. Hear it. It's a defined dogma of the Catholic faith that Jesus Christ, the living God who became man, instituted two sacraments on Holy Thursday night. And in God's name, whatever you forget from this retreat, I beg you, do not forget this. On Thursday, Holy Thursday night, Christ instituted two sacraments, the sacrament of the Holy Eucharist and the sacrament of the priesthood. And Christ, we must say, had no choice. When Jesus pronounced the words, "This is my body, this is the chalice of my blood," Christ literally changed the substance, what had been bread and wine, into His own living flesh and blood. And then He added, "Do this in commemoration of me." And the Catholic Church has formally expressly defined when Jesus added the words, "Do this in commemoration of me," He was defining. I repeat, He was defining how priests are ordained. And behind every priest is a bishop. Christ thus declared how bishops become bishops with the power to ordain priests, and the priests have the power to change bread and wine into living presence of Jesus Christ, and therefore of ordaining other men as bishops and priests. Every Catholic bishop and priest every, I repeat, Catholic bishop and priest has the power of transubstantiation, which means by his words of consecration of Mass, the bread and wine become Jesus Christ. And the key word is become. Why, as I told you in a previous conference, when one half of the ordination class, the Archdiocese of Chicago, left the priesthood within 6 years of the ordination, so they no longer believe that a priest has the power of changing bread and wine into the living Jesus Christ. The key word is become. What had been bread and wine becomes the Son of God, who was conceived by the Virgin Mary at Nazareth, born in Bethlehem, died on the cross in Jerusalem, rose from the dead on Easter Sunday, and 4 days later ascended to heaven, where he is seated at the right hand of the Father. This is what we as Catholics believe. This same Jesus is on earth in one church after another, and many, the Archdiocese of Chicago, the tabernacles are either removed from the church entirely, put into a closet in the back of the church, or out of sight in a side, they call it private chapel. But the bottom line is one Catholic church after another no longer has the real presence. We believe as Catholics, you notice this is just the first full day of this retreat, I will keep coming back to the same subject. Under orders of the Holy See, told by Rome to tell this to bishops, which I have, tell this to priests, which I do, I'm telling you people, in God's name, believe. That's the imperative of the verb, believe. A validly ordained priest is necessary to pronounce the words, this is my body, this is the chalice of my blood. This same Jesus, I repeat, is on earth after the words of consecration are pronounced. The Holy See, not without sound reason, issued a document warning priests to be sure when they are ordained to believe, once more to believe, they have the power of changing bread and wine into the real living Jesus Christ.